Gary Chapman wrote a bestseller called The Five Love Languages, which is quite well known, and it explains them. As I go through these, try and think which is yours. Probably one or two that you'll think, yeah, that means a lot to me. If you're interested, you can Google Love Languages Quiz and you'll find several on the internet, and that might be a good thing for you and your husband or wife to sit down and do together. But here are some things to look for when you're trying to work out somebody else's love language. The first one would be watch how they express love, and particularly for things that aren't your natural way. You mightn't realise that a tidy home when you come home from work, or taking time for a coffee together, or a drawing from kinder, can actually be a love sign. Secondly, ask for what do they ask for most often, or what do they complain about most often? That can give you a clue. Those annoying nags can be actually a cry for love in the way that they recognise it. And then maybe give them options between different ways of receiving love and see what they pick. I asked my son when he was 13 what he'd like to do for the afternoon, and he chose a quality time gift. Let's go to Pick Apart Auto Wreckers for the afternoon. Quality time with Mum. Now, the first one I want to talk about is words of affirmation. And that's things like compliments, feedback, respectful ways of asking and talking to you, words of valuing. Do you need a lot of feedback? I really like to get feedback. Do you really appreciate a word of sincere appreciation? I tend to keep cards, you know, when you leave a job and people all sign the card and write things about you. I keep that, but I'll forget what the farewell present was. And the Bible's got many words of affirmation. It's full of them. We read things like, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. And that's a love letter from God to you. I'd like to tell you a story. It's one that you'll find in Matthew 25, and it's a story that Jesus told. There was a rich man who went travelling. And before he went, he gave three of his employees different amounts of money, and he asked them to invest on his behalf. So two of them got to work and traded, and it must have been a boom time, and they were actually able to double their master's money. The other guy, he was a bit, maybe a bit lazy, a bit anxious. He put the money away in a safe place, and so he didn't take any risks, and he didn't make any profit. So when the boss came back, he called them all in, and he was not impressed with the third guy. He called him lazy, he gave him the sack. The other two, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, what do you think Jesus is saying there? I'll give you a clue. It's not stock market advice. I think he's saying, whatever he's given you, use it to grow his kingdom. So whether it's time or money or abilities. But if words of affirmation are your language, I wonder if you notice the words of the Master. Would this really motivate you to think that Jesus appreciates what you do, and one day he'll say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant? That motivates me. So how could you express this language? Things like going up and encouraging people, writing notes or emails or texts that say, love you, well done. And you can connect with God through perhaps memorising those promises in his word or singing songs of praise. And your prayers are probably full of praise because you value words of affirmation. But maybe your love language is acts of service, like Leo's mum. You probably think that words are cheap and actions are what counts, and you look for ways in which you can show this. Bill saw a video, Swedish Love Acts. He says it's probably blonde teenagers helping old ladies across the road. They'd be acts of love, wouldn't they? So if this is your love language, you probably connect to God through practical caring that you give or receive, and especially in God's name. Christians should reach out to others in practical ways. And Jesus certainly spoke this language. He constantly served through healing, and he provided food, he cooked his friends breakfast, even washed their smelly, dirty feet when no one else would do it. I'd like to tell you a story about Jesus. He was speaking to a rabbi one day, and they were talking about, how do you fulfill the law, love your neighbour as yourself? And he told the rabbi this story about the Good Samaritan. You've probably heard it before. The one about a traveller on a lonely road who was beaten up, left for dead. A priest and a law expert were walking down the road, and they backed away and walked on the other side. And then along came a Samaritan. That was a person who was from a despised group. But he stopped, bound up the wounds, went to a lot of trouble to make sure that this traveller was looked after. Jesus' point, love must be put in action to whoever comes across your path. A couple of years ago, my husband was very ill, and the young adults group at Canterbury Gardens was studying the Book of James at the time, so they spent an evening cooking instead of studying the Bible, and they brought around some gluten-free casseroles. Were you part of that? We really appreciated that, because they had worked out from James that love that doesn't express itself in action is pretty pointless. Does your heart beat faster when you hear this idea? Do you want to say, yes, let's get out there and show people in action, not just talk religious talk? Yeah. The Good Samaritan didn't stop and have his quiet time before he fixed up the bleeding man. The story of the Good Samaritan is found in Luke chapter 10, and it's an example of loving your neighbour in action. And the very next incident is the story where Jesus stops by to visit two sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, Martha got busy organising dinner right away. I think she probably rushed off to the market to see if she could find a good chook or some ripe figs. And she'd want to prepare it as well as possible. You know, garlic stuffing, honey and mustard glaze. You know, getting everything as nice as possible for her honoured guest. Setting the table, best linen, flowers on the table. Just being the hostess with the mostess. And I'm sure Jesus was hungry and looking forward to dinner. Her love language was acts of service, I'm sure. Mary, on the other hand, just sat at his feet and listened, drank in everything he was saying, couldn't take her eyes off him. Well, Martha got a bit fed up. You would, wouldn't you? So she came and said to Jesus, "Don't you care that she's not helping me? Tell her to come and help me." And Jesus looked at her with love and he said, "Oh, Martha." Now, Jesus and his friends lived on the road. They really didn't need finger bowls and fancy food. I think they would have been really happy with some bread and cheese and some clean water. So Jesus says what would you think Jesus would say? I would have thought that he would say, yeah, go and help her. But what he actually said was, "Martha, Martha, you're always worried and bothered about so many things, and they're not really that important. Mary's chosen the best thing, and I'm not going to take it away from her." You see, Jesus loves us to spend time with him, meditating on his word, praying to him, listening for his voice. Our culture encourages us to be busy, busy, busy. Our church culture does it too, doesn't it? Always lots of stuff in church to be done. But it's a matter of priorities. Clearly Jesus thought Mary's priority was better than Martha's for that point in time. So this is the language of quality time. And perhaps in our busy lives it's the hardest to give, to really pay attention to people and give them one-to-one time. And if that's your love language, you probably love chatting together, maybe walking without talking on a beach, giving people your full attention. Jesus spent lots of time with people. He hung out with people. He called his disciples just to be with him. He partied with the Alpha Z list, just giving them time. So let's take that on board. And the next one's physical touch. And we all need touch. Do you get enough? In our culture, people who live alone or elderly people often hardly ever get touched, and we need to remember that. Some people are very touchy-feely and love to be touched, and I need to remind myself that my husband's love language is touch, and it's not my top one. I have to remind myself to hug him. I like hugging him. And actually it works well for me because he does a great foot massage. But if you are a touch person, you probably show God's love by patting someone on the shoulder, holding a hand, putting an arm around somebody who's suffering to give them support. I just love that story of Jesus when he healed the leper. The leper came to him, and Jesus could have just said the words and healed him. But instead he reached out and touched him. Nobody touched lepers. They were literally untouchable. But Jesus touched him. And that would have blown him away. How does God touch us now? You might feel God's presence through other people's sensitive touch. Sometimes you can almost feel like God reached out and stroked you as you're worshipping. But you can picture yourself held safe in the Lord's hands or wrapped up in his arms and know that you're safe there. In our society today, many people are reluctant to touch, and especially we're reluctant to touch children because we're afraid of being misunderstood. I think that's really sad. And many people actually reject touch because they're afraid or because they've had bad experiences in the past. We really need healthy, respectful touch in order to heal those wounds from the past. And God's touch is safe and healing, and touch in the church really needs to be that way too. Actually, that's true of all the love languages. We could use this knowledge to manipulate or seduce or exploit people. And that's not love. If it's about gratifying you, it's not love at all. True love is about seeking somebody else's happiness and growth as a person. Now, the last language is gifts. Did you get junk mail this week? Full of things that we must give our mums. And according to the junk mail, mums love cheap perfume, cheap chocolate, glitzy jewellery, pink fluffy slippers. Well, pink fluffy slippers are okay. Now, I've questioned probably a couple of hundred people about their love languages, and I find that a lot of people like to show love through gifts, but hardly anyone has it as a high-valued way of receiving love. It actually isn't what we crave most of all, and particularly, guys, if you sent your secretary out to get it. Because people, even people who love receiving gifts, it's the time and the effort that went into it that really counts, isn't it? In my house, the most valued work of art hangs on my fridge. It's by my granddaughter. So if you're a gift person, though, you probably serve people by little gifts. My sister-in-law is one of these. Little gifts and generous presents. And you probably connect to God by really recognising the gifts that he's given you and being grateful for them. But let me tell you, God is a great giver. And, of course, Jesus himself was the greatest gift that God gave us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And actually, eternal life is a gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. There's nothing you can do to deserve it, nothing about it that you can boast about. And that's just as well, isn't it? Because we're all limited, we're all wounded, and we all make bad choices. We can't even meet our own standards, let alone God's, because God's absolutely holy. So forgiveness has to be a gift. And our only part in that is to realise that we really, really, really need it. We need God's forgiveness. We need his power to change. And we have to just accept it by faith. I don't mean accept it as an idea. I mean accept it as a gift. And faith just means believing that Jesus really has taken the consequences of all those sins and that he offers us forgiveness. And believe his promise. My favourite verse in the Bible. If we confess our sins, God can be relied on to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. That's what we mean by the word grace, as in amazing grace. So what will you do with this information? Well, you might be able to think of a person who's close to you where there seems to be some difficulty communicating love. Do you know what their love language is? And do you make an effort to speak that language? Or do you think that they know what your love language is, or are you just leaving them guessing? So commit yourself to try and express love in their way. And also try to be more aware of the different ways in which they might be showing you love and learn to appreciate some others. Secondly, think about whether you've been open to receiving God's love in these different ways. Which of today's stories did you like the most? That might give you a clue. Because maybe you've been thinking of God as a cranky school teacher or a distant power. If you realise God loves you to bits and he loves to speak your love language. Thirdly, be proactive in using your love language to serve God and to bless other people in God's name. It's part of your spiritual gifting. So use it. Use it to the full. Now, we baby boomers will remember the Beatles song, "All You Need Is Love." Remember it? But, you know, the best mum or dad in the world can't fill up your love needs. The most romantic boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife won't meet your deepest love needs. Neither will the most loyal friend or even your best mate, your dog. Only the Lord can really fill up your tank. And the Bible says, "This is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin." In the Bible, the Lord says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast?" Well, it sounds impossible, and today we're celebrating the faithful love of mothers, but it is possible. But he says, "But I will never forget you." So, as your mother taught you, remember your manners. Say thank you to God for his love and for his forgiveness, and ask him to help you to love other people as he loves us. If you want to know how to start, you could talk to Keith or one of the other leaders here and they'll help you. Because this is exciting. God and you can start a new love story. And it's going to go on forever and ever. Amen.